world. I'm John Batchelor. Sri Lanka, the city and port of Colombo, the West Container Terminal Project by the extremely well-to-do and dominant Indian super corporation following the Adanis. I welcome Arif Rafiq of Globally News to explain how something as specific as a project to build in Colombo, Sri Lanka, is the story of the battle for the Indo-Pacific for the balance of the 21st century. Between the People's Republic of China, the Republic of India, and the subcontinent, and the United States of America and its allies. Arif, a very good evening to you. Let us begin with the Adani project, which you report in Globally News is backed by U.S. and by India. Why? Who are the Adanis to Washington and Delhi? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me on. Well, the Adanis, Gautam Adani is one of the world's richest men. He's the second richest man in India, and he heads the Adani Group, which was one of India's largest conglomerates. And so the United States government is financing the Adani Group's attempts to develop a new container port in Sri Lanka, in Colombo. And Adani is also closely tied to Prime Minister Narendra Modi of India. His wealth has increased manifestly under Modi's rule since 2014. And this Colombo port project aligns with the interests of both India and the United States, because Sri Lanka is strategically located in the Indian Ocean region. It's just about 20 nautical miles off of India's southeastern coast. It is also strategically located along the east-west oil shipping lanes connecting the Persian Gulf and East Asia. And so if you look at a map of marine traffic, there's just a cluster of vessels that are around Colombo and Sri Lanka's southern coast. And China and Chinese state-owned corporations have had a real head start in terms of gaining a foothold in Sri Lanka. And so they operate container terminals in Colombo and also a new port in the city of Hambantota. And that while that project has failed, what's clear is that China and its own state-owned companies have a real robust presence in Sri Lanka. And the danger, the risk there is that the commercial ports here, as well as across the Eurasian Rimland, could be used in the future for military purposes in some shape or form. And so what the United States and India desire is for sympathetic companies that are not Chinese to compete with China's armada of state-owned companies and give them a run for their money, so that in the future, down the road, countries like Sri Lanka don't feel compelled to give Beijing a strategic access to these areas, which are very pivotally located.
My memory is that Sri Lanka's government fell apart in 2022, and the family, the Rajapaksa family, fled after having built a port that nobody was using and an airport that nobody was using, and the finances of the state were extremely vulnerable. Here we are, almost 2 years later, a year and a half later. Have the Chinese returned in good order? Are the Rajapaksas back in order?
The Rajapaksas, they fled Sri Lanka last year when Sri Lanka defaulted, and hundreds of protesters surrounded the Prime Minister's office. And so they left the country, but they've since returned. And this is a kind of musical chairs that Sri Lanka has seen, and it's kind of typical of many South Asian countries. But the Rajapaksas have returned, and China remains a major player in Sri Lanka, though. Sri Lanka remains highly indebted to Beijing. Its largest bilateral creditor is the Chinese, and they've just kind of finalized these debt renegotiation talks with its external creditors, including China. So the Chinese are very much still part of the game. The port that you mentioned, its name is Hambantota. It's still the Chinese have a 99-year lease over there, so they're not not going anywhere. And the real challenge for the West, as well as its allies, is to figure out a way to counter this kind of resilience of China, because many in Sri Lanka are, oppose these kind of commercial port projects that are debt driven and not really commercially viable, that were made, these decisions that were made by the Rajapaksas and others in Sri Lanka. And yet, the broader dynamics don't change. China remains the predominant economic actor inside Sri Lanka, despite the turmoil that Sri Lanka has seen over the past year or so.
Now, the challenge, the strategic challenge for the Indo-Pacific for the balance of the 21st century is called the String of Pearls, and it has a model called the Port Park City. What is that, Arif? Port Park City.
So China and Chinese state-owned companies have gone to developing countries in the world promoting this Port Park City model. They say that Shenzhen, which was home to the first special economic zone in communist China as it was opening up to the world in the early 1980s, that this is a kind of a model for opening up to the world and developing. This is a new a Chinese model of development. And so they sell it to countries like Djibouti and Sri Lanka as, you can replicate the Chinese model. So it begins with the development of a deep water port. Around that port is a special economic zone where goods are manufactured. And then that hub becomes a mega city. And so it's a port, an industrial park, and then a mega city that emerges out of that. And the idea is to replicate the model in Shenzhen, which has been the factory for the world, producing, baby toys and garments for pretty much everyone around the world. And so that they're trying to sell, the Chinese dream to others. But the danger here is that, many countries have bought this model, and it really has not materialized in most countries because it's not really replicable and it's not really a model. It's more of a marketing ploy. But in any event, the danger here is that these ports that Beijing has amassed, the Chinese companies operate or own over 90 ports across the world. The danger is that some of these can serve military purposes down the road. Just because China's portfolio is so large, one port can maybe host a listing post. Others can maybe serve for refueling and replenishment of military vessels. And so this will enhance China's Blue Water Navy capabilities. And so, they're selling this model to other countries, and that's part of sort of the business model of Chinese state-owned enterprises. But there's a real risk that these commercial ports can then be translated into military power for the PLA Navy.
And quickly, we have less than a minute. That describes Gwadar, the port in Pakistan, in Balochistan territory, that is very much devoted to the debt built up with China. And now the U.S. has entered in with the ambassador's appearance. So there's a contest in Pakistan. There's a contest in Sri Lanka. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a contest across Eurasia.
Right.
So, and even in South America as well. And so this is a global contest for ports. It has very much to do with the future of trade and the control of the seas. And it's as much about commercial power as it is about military power.
Arif Rafiq, Globally News, a subscription site I recommend. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.